data warehouse, right? Teradata is a company which provides a good solution for data warehousing. There is AWS, Amazon, which provides a lot of data warehousing solutions. So just look for the term called Redshift, right? So Redshift is a data warehousing solution from Amazon. It helps you to get the real data out of the data. Now, I know it doesn't really make sense, right? But let me just give you an example. So if as a telecom company, right, I have a history of all my different calls, the different duration of each calls, how many were domestic calls, how many were international calls, my internet usage and so on, right? But then for a telecom company to actually make sense of that data and analyze my behavioral pattern and then do some kind of target segmentation, that is the role of a data warehousing solution. So typically, say if they want to run a program to actually target only those customers who are on international roaming for say 20 days in a year and then run some kind of campaign around that, that is a part of a data warehousing solution. Then there are analytics and business intelligence tools. Cognos is a very famous example of that. So they provide a very robust BI tools. And then there is corporate treasury, which is obviously required for the banks. So as I said, so these are different tools that are used in different parts of the industry segments. Each vendor will have their edge in some of the industry verticals. So say Oracle would have edge in say a finance domain versus SAP who would have edge in the manufacturing companies. A core banking software such as say Finacle, which is developed by Infosys, would have a edge in all the banking domains. So there are different packages and software which are used in different industry segments. Okay, so now that we've looked on the different softwares that are used in the different industry segments, let us now look at the actual nuts and bolts of the enterprise solution. So there are many different components that go in a typical solution, and this will range from different SMB customers to the large enterprises. First, the networks. The network is the platform or the heart of every solution. So network is a place on which the different components are connected. So network is one. Then there is data center. We spoke about the data center where the primary servers and the storages reside and the primary data resides. And then there is the disaster recovery. So you would have a disaster recovery center. Say if it's a bank, you would have multiple DRs. If it's a normal, say manufacturing company, he would have one or two DRs as per the nature and the criticality of business. Important part is the unified communications or the business communications. So these are the applications which are built on top of the network, which help to increase the employee productivity. And then there are other applications which are inherent to the nature of business of a typical company. So now, having looked at a very high level architecture of a typical solution, let us understand which are the different blocks, and we just spoke about them, but then let us have them in more details. Okay, so here is a typical high level architecture of a typical enterprise. So what you see at the bottom are the different users and the different methods through which the users would access. So this would be the laptops or the desktops or the tablets, mobile phones. The second layer that you see is the transmission. Now, what is transmission? When a user wants to access something, say if I have to access flipkart.com, I would access it through my mobile phone or through my laptop. How do I access it through my mobile phone? I have to have my data on. Now, when I'm using my mobile data, it is called as a 3G or a 4G or a 5G. So that is a form of the transmission network. If I'm using my laptop, I'm using my internet. I can have connectivity through various other means like the VPN, And if there are certain IoT devices, that is Internet of Things devices, they would probably transmit over something called as low power WAN or Sigfox or Zigbee, right? So these are the different transmission technologies which help a user to actually reach to the application. Now let us look at the main block, which is the heart, right? So you would have the desktop computing services. So if I'm accessing it through my desktop, if I have certain desktop management services in place, then I would use them, or else if I'm not, then I can have some mobile computation engines, right? Then is the network. I said network is the foundation of every enterprise. So there's something called as LAN, which is a local area network where all the users are connected, and then there is WAN, which is the wide area network. So suppose if I have to interact with a company and I have to come over internet, so internet is an example of a wide area network. Companies would have their own private connectivity. So say typically a B2B organization, they would not want the users to directly interact, right? So what they would do is they would not give any internet access but have a private connectivity. That is the MPLS connectivity that you see in the transmission layer, and it is a form of the wide area network or the WAN. And then there is the firewall. Firewall is nothing but a security device which helps to secure my infrastructure. Then there is IPS, IDS, which are again security devices, and we'll get into those when we discuss the IT infrastructure. Then there is NOC, NOC and SOC. So this is the network operation center and the security operation center. Let us now come to the data center services. So data center services, one is the servers. Servers are the machines on which the actual workloads reside, the applications reside. Then there is storage. So any kind of user data has to be stored in some kind of a storage device. So that is the storage. Then there are databases which maintain the user information. Then there is the messaging, and then there are the other layers that you see in the diagram. The other important part is the application management. We are talking about the middleware, that is the servers, but then on the top you have the applications. The applications are the one which are the front-ending thing to interact. So there are the web apps, which are the front-ending thing, and then there are middleware applications which help to interact with the database services. On the left, what you see are some kind of the security frameworks. It could be in the form of identifying the local users. So if there are users which are part of my company, basis the user role, I have to assign them the different access in my network. So that is, you can see identity and access management. And on the right, what you see are the different tools which help to manage the entire solution. So there is service desk. So suppose if there is anything that goes wrong, then I can raise a trouble ticket through the service desk. And then there is service management tools. These again help to augment the service desk. So how does the service desk know that there is a fault, say for example in my server or my LAN environment? It is through the service management or the service monitoring tools. So these tools help to monitor the entire setup, and then the monitoring tools give a signal to the service desk to raise a request or a service request and open a case so that the things get rectified. Well, this is really interesting. This shows a diagram of an organization, and you can see the different facets that we spoke about. So there are different branches that get connected to a network POP, and the cloud that you see in the middle, we spoke about MPLS very briefly, right? So that's a means of a private connectivity. That is how the different offices are getting connected. And then there is the corporate office that again gets connected on the cloud, which is again the MPLS. You see that there is corporate LAN. We spoke about LAN. So LAN is something that helps to connect the users. And then there are again branch offices that are connecting. So at the heart is the network, which is the wide area network and the local area network. And that again, the network forms the heart. Again, in the cloud, you see something called as the DC and the DR. So that is the disaster recovery and the data center. the data center is where the servers, the storage, everything gets hosted. All your database, your applications, everything is stored in the database. A copy of the database, where is it stored? Yes, it's stored in the disaster recovery center. Why is the disaster recovery center used? Correct. So that if the DC fails, then you have the DR to cater to the load. You can have the customers that interact through the internet. You can have the remote users, again, who can use the internet. There is something called as a VPN, which we saw on the previous slide. VPN is a tunnel which can be accessed, which can be formed over the internet. Now, internet, we all know it's open medium, right? But say if I have my employees who are sitting anywhere in the world, but then they want to connect to my systems, my IT systems, remotely, that is through the internet, then I have to form some kind of a secure tunnel over the internet. That is a VPN. Yes, you again see a branch office. The branch office again has a corporate LAN. So these are the high level architecture of a typical organization. One important thing that I forgot to mention is the connected cars. So connected car is just an example. But then if there are a lot of IoT applications, right, Internet of Things, so if there are IoT sensors that are running, so connected car is just an example. But I could have, say, for example, light sensors or smart metering applications, say, for example, some kind of home automation tools which I want to control over my mobile phone, then I can have them connected over the internet as well. This is a little deep dive into what is what and how is a typical architecture. So we will go from the user level to the storage level, right? So user, you say it can be accessed either from the internet or using a private connectivity. We spoke about the firewall services, so it's nothing but a security device. So here you can see some kind of virus filtering and a security device. Just below, there is something called as bandwidth optimization. Now, bandwidth optimization is a WAN optimization device, right? It helps you to compress the bandwidth when the data is flown over a wide area network. We spoke about server load balancer. What does a server load balancer do? If there are a lot of requests that hit a typical server, and if I have two or three different servers, the load gets equally divided. So that is the that is the role of a server load balancer. And then in a site, I have the different servers that are running. It could be from a email server to a business productivity enhancement, that is a business communication server, or things like that. Below, there is a storage layer. So all my data gets resides in a typical storage environment. It could be a SAN environment or a NAS environment. SAN is a storage area network, and NAS is a network attached storage. These are typically the storages that are used in an organization. You see, there is data replication. We spoke about DR, right, and how the data from a primary site, that is the data center, gets replicated into a DR site. So that is the data replication services. And on the top, you see again the wide area network. There is a metro wide Ethernet network or the wide area network, which is used to connect the data center and the DR, right? So hope you understand what how a typical architecture of an organization is. Just some key points. We spoke about ERP. So ERP resides in the servers. The storage or the database resides on the storage. You see the SAN environment, so that is the storage. We spoke about the users get connected over the internet. We spoke about server load balancer, we spoke about security, you can see them in the diagram. We spoke about data center, we spoke about disaster recovery centers. So data center is typically the one that you see in the middle, and disaster recovery is something that you see on the right. Right. So this is a typical IT landscape of our organization. So you will notice that most of the components of the enterprise solution have been discussed, and this has to be discussed in details in the subsequent sectors. So a key point here to note is that if if it's a bank or if it's any financial company, then these solutions would differ a little as compared to a manufacturing company, right? And moreover, the softwares would really differ. So say a hospital management solution will differ from a retail management solution. So in the subsequent sectors, chapters, we will cover all the different aspects of IT that go into the making of a typical solution. And I will try to cover the different software vendors and the software packages also that form a part of the solution. Okay, so let us start with the platform business model. What is this model really all about, and how it was evolved over the age, and why is it really relevant in today's era? So the internet age has come off today and has brought significant changes in the way the business is done, and this is the sole reason why the platform business model has come into picture. Earlier the business models were linear in nature. They were very traditional, they had silos, and more importantly, it was not a platform where the users could interact with the people actually building the product. So it didn't give the actual value to the business that it really demanded, but the platform business value business model is really powerful. So this is a business model that creates value, as I just spoke about, for the business, and it helps to interact between the different parties or the different stakeholders that are involved, be it the consumers, the producers, the business owners, through a digital medium. Give me an example, how different stakeholders are related. It could be a large organization where people are related through the ERP system. But a very simple example which I think every one of you will be able to relate is Amazon. Amazon, they have the marketplace. Flipkart, what is Flipkart? It's nothing but a marketplace. It's a marketplace where sellers will sell their products. There'll be end users like you and me who would buy those products. I'm not sure if people know, but Amazon has got something called as a launchpad, right? So where the startups who have developed their new products, who are innovative, they would sell their products online, and there'll be users who can buy them. So it's nothing but a platform. It's a marketplace where the end users like you and me can interact with the owners, the product owners. You can even write them feedbacks about how the product was. I've been contacted so many times by the Amazon owners. I mean, not the Amazon owners, but the product owners, to help them know how the end product was, if there is any need to make the product a little better, what would this be, are there any customization needed. So I guess it really creates a lot of value for the business as such. So the platform business model, it became predominant for the 21st century. It's got three essential components to it. First is the infrastructure. Now, infrastructure, we've been speaking all through our journey so far, that it's the crux of everything. It's a platform which helps the different things to get interrelated. So infrastructure is the first level, which helps to connect the different people and the businesses and the processes together. The second is the pull element. So it's called as the magnetic element that generates a pull factor to attract different participants to the platform. It could be a marketing campaign, it could be business analytics, it could be data warehousing solutions, it could be different kinds of applications to judge the user behavior to create a stronger business. And the third is the actual data. So the data that helps to differentiate between the platform model and the business model, the way a business is run, is through the data. Right. So the platform business model helps to bring together the capabilities of the network infra, the intelligence, the content, and a self-improving system provided by networking. We took the example of Amazon. The similar example could be of Uber or Alibaba. So they create exact value for their end customers. you know, Jack Ma, right? So where he was probably 15 years back and where he is right now, he is China's richest man. So how he has created value for himself, how he has created value for the suppliers, and in turn passed on this value to his end users. That's a structured success story. That's really important for today's business. So platform business model, just to go a little deep, platform business model is a business model by itself. It's not a piece of technology. It's not say a firewall, or it's not a tangible thing that I can touch, but then I have to implement it. So it's the way a business is run, right? So it's not a piece of technology, but it's more to do with the running of the business than the actual piece of technology, right? So it's a holistic business model that creates value by bringing together consumers and producers. It's an integrated solution that brings together the different elements of enterprise solution. So be it the software or the hardware or the vendors or the suppliers, right? So it's not a solution only for the software products. A common mistake is not to confuse it with any piece of technology as such. So I've made it very clear that it's a way a business is run rather than an individual component of a business. Right. So a disruptive force for the 21st century, supply chain is not the aggregator of the business value. Now, again, I like to relate it to the Amazon example that I gave, right? Amazon today, he does not own the end product. So say, for example, if I have to say buy a book, right? Or if I have to buy a shirt, then Amazon doesn't own that shirt, right? There is a seller who owns that shirt, who has manufactured it, and Amazon is providing a foundation, a platform, a marketplace for a seller to sell that product. So what is needed is a very strong logistics, a very strong supply chain, and a very strong platform for the user to get interact with the producer, correct? Just to give you an example, how strong the supply chain is for a platform business model. You can have a next business day delivery in Amazon, right? So the moment you order something, it gives you, say, if you have a Prime subscription, it assures you a delivery by the next day. Plus, you also have to look at the reverse logistics. So suppose if you don't like the product and if you have to return it back, then how is the reverse logistics coming into picture? So they have got very strong supply chain and the logistics model, and these are a key as far as a platform business model is concerned. So using this model, there were many services industries that took off because it provides a platform, right? So say something for an airline industry, aggregator, say a TripAdvisor, or I guess the biggest example is Airbnb. What does Airbnb do? It doesn't have any properties by itself. It helps you to connect to the owners of those properties and then earns margin in between. That it has been able to create value by using the platform model. Transportation, hotel, right? So hotel industry, what does the Make My Trip app do? Again, it's a marketplace. Amazon we spoke about, right? So these are very successful stories of companies who have adapted to the platform business model. Many companies or organizations, particularly in the retail segment, are moving from a traditional model, which was again silo based, to a platform model. Now, you can look at the way Big Bazaar has changed its business model. Earlier, it was very siloed, but now it has helped to create a marketplace. Look at DMart, right? So DMart has been really profitable. The way it has been able to do that is, one, it has got its own stores. They have some express stores for which, again, the logistics and the supply chain is really powerful. And the third is through the mobile app, right? So Walmart here is given as an example, but the closest that we can relate to is DMart, right? It's very Indian by its own nature. What we'll discuss in the subsequent chapters is the enterprise products and solutions and the technologies that help to build an enterprise architecture, how they help to create value for a company and in turn deliver more value for its users. And these are to be differentiated from the traditional models or the traditional leaner models, how the platform technologies or the platform business model has really helped evolve over the traditional line of business. So just to summarize, in this chapter we have been introduced to the basic concept of what the enterprise was, what an enterprise solution really means, what are the different block diagrams of a typical enterprise. So we started with the users, the different applications. We spoke about the web app, applications, database. We spoke about the different terminologies. So one is the LAN environment, the WAN environment. So these are part of the network. So we spoke about the network, we spoke about the users. So users, when they have to interact through some transmission. Remember the block diagram that I took you guys through. So one is the users, when they have to interact, they use the transmission technologies, then they would interact. Interact with whom? They would interact with the applications. Applications are what? They reside on the servers. Servers, they have some kind of database. Database, they reside on the storage. Then there is data center where all the data resides. There is disaster recovery center which has a copy of the database. And then there are certain security process is in place, which was on the left side of that. And on the right side, there is the service desk and the monitoring tools. So this at a high level form the part of an enterprise solution. Then we've looked upon what a ERP solution does, how a ERP is not to be confused with an enterprise solution. And then we looked at some of the HRMS applications, the finance applications, which are popular in the industry. We also understood the concept of how a overall IT system works, and we looked at the nuts and bolts of the entire IT solution. Remember the diagram which spoke about security, firewall, load balancers, VPN solutions, DC solutions, DC replication. We also spoke about how an enterprise has to evolve from the traditional line of business delivering the linear solutions to a platform based solution. So key takeaways: one is enterprise solutions, they are designed to integrate all the aspects in an organization. You cannot work in a silos, and we agreed to that, right? If you have silos, that means it's like going back to the MIS days. It cannot be really helpful. You cannot really scale. If you are a startup, then probably or a small business, you've started running, then probably maintaining a Excel spreadsheet is good enough. But then if you want to scale, if you want to reach the masses, if you want to innovate, if you want to disrupt, then I guess the way to look at it is through enterprise solutions, which help you to integrate everything. We looked at classification of the organization basis the number of employees, basis the turnover. We saw how organization can be classified basis the internal definitions. So how Cisco classifies different organizations, how Vodafone classifies different organizations. We looked at the guidelines that were given by RBI for classifying the organizations. We saw the need how one size does not fit all. So a retail solution might not be exactly the need for a finance solution. A finance solution might need higher securities. We saw how the needs of the SMBs are evolving from a spreadsheet to advanced solutions. We also saw the challenges in the implementation for a large enterprise. We took the example of GE, which took almost 5 years to implement Oracle's ERP and its customization, to the need for the SMB solutions, to the SMB customers, which require little customization because they have limited IT resources. We also looked at the history. Earlier they were the computers, and they started with the homegrown application, how it got translated to MRP, MRP1, MRP2, then how it got evolved into the ERP solutions. Then the 1980s saw the era of MIS, and how MIS doesn't really help in today's environment because it's very siloed. All departments have their own systems and reports in place, but then they don't really function as one single unit. And then we slowly developed our understanding into a well-architected framework. one framework that helps to integrate everything. The enterprise solutions, and we saw the three different aspects of a platform-based business model: enterprise architecture, integration, and the ecological adaption. The systems and the non-core business, the middleware integration, how it has to feature as a part of a single solution, right? So with this, I hope this session has been informative to you, and I'd like to thank you for viewing.